This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions. Can we get this started right now? I mean, let's just skip over the news and all the preliminary stuff and get straight to the free-for-all. I mean, if we don't get started now, there is no way that we're going to be able to get it all.
From the studios of Farm Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's a Frozen Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer, Real Agriculture's Sean Haney, and Pam Johnson, past president of the NCGA and Mazal. I'm Davis Michelson, and now your beloved host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
It's report day.
It is report
finally.
Day.
Finally. And it's like we need to go back in time to get the reports.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are January 11 reports.
Yes.
That we're getting on February 8th.
Yeah.
If you shut the government down long enough, that this is what you get.
Well, I've been filling in export data from December most of this week.
Yeah. We've got it through December 27th.
That's right.
Now.
That's right.
How ridiculous is that?
We got COTs, commitment of traders,
right,
that are in the same boat there.
But how ridiculous is it?
Yep.
It just seems anyway, but we are getting it updated. Like we talked about yesterday, the wait will be over. Now, I'm not saying that the wait for the USDA data is the only reason that we seem to have sucked volatility out of the grain markets.
Right.
It's not the only reason that we have seen some pressure on grain prices the last couple of days, but I think it's part of the reason.
Absolutely.
And I cannot wait to get rid of the excuse of the grain markets waiting for USDA data.
Mm-hmm. Because remember, we're looking at a futures market,
right?
Not a last month's market.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot to that. Absolutely. So we're going to get the supply and demand report, the January and the February S&D update. But when you go back to July 11, we're getting the quarterly grain stocks report, the annual production summary, and the winter wheat seedings report.
Yep.
Maybe that winter wheat seedings report is going to be what it'll take to get this wheat market showing some life.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
You could say that. Yeah.
That would be nice.
It's a busy day here.
Is Bud Light doubling down?
You know, I don't know. I was watching a little TV last night, and you mentioned that you were too, and I've got a story on this for the news. Well, okay, we got a bunch of Trump stuff to get through first. What do you want to do? Where do you want to start? You know what? We can do the Bud Light.
Okay.
Bud Light parent company Anheuser-Busch is working to mend its rift created with American corn farmers via the National Corn Growers Association after Super Bowl commercials cast a shadow on corn syrup. In a statement, an Anheuser-Busch spokesperson said, quote, "Last year, Anheuser-Busch purchased more than 1 billion pounds of corn ingredients. We fully support corn growers and will continue to invest in the corn industry. Bud Light's Super Bowl commercials are only meant to point out a key difference in Bud Light from some other light beers," Chip.
Read that last sentence again.
"Only meant to point out a key difference in Bud Light from other light beers."
Key difference. Mm-hmm. A key difference. You know, last night I'm watching the Iowa-Indiana basketball game on ESPN. It's not like there's any other farm people watching that game.
No.
Right?
No.
No. No, I mean the Iowa-Indiana game.
Nah.
Nah. No farmers watching that.
City slickers.
Oh my gosh, they're doubling down.
Yeah.
The ad was running all the time, and not only that, there's new versions of the ad that all come back to Bud Light doesn't use corn syrup. I'm sorry, every time that they put that up there, all it does is imply that there is something wrong with corn syrup.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. It is really frustrating.
All right. Well, trade officials in Washington have reported the meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping is on shaky ground. Yesterday, Trump said a meeting with Xi would not happen until after the March 1 deadline has passed. When asked by reporters at a White House event if he would still meet with Xi this month, Trump replied no, saying that meeting was unlikely. The president suggested the meeting would be rescheduled, but thus far there is no indication of when. The next time the two leaders would see each other outside of a scheduled meeting would be in late June at the G20 summit in Japan. No. Trump has said there will be no resolution to the trade tiff until the two meet in person, fueling anxiety and uncertainty.
I don't believe him.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. If there is enough agreement when President Trump is in the neighborhood in February, at the end of the month, it's going to be one of those where he walks up to the podium and says, "See, I told you I could get this done."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about managing expectations at this point. I cannot wait to get Jim's take on this.
Yeah. Yesterday, National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow told Fox Business, quote, there's a pretty sizable difference to go, echoing Wilbur Ross's recent statement that there are, quote, miles and miles to go before a settlement is reached. Sources point out negotiators have not produced even a draft accord that highlights the sticking points of the negotiation. The situation was characterized as fluid by unnamed officials, and trade rep Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin still plan to travel to Beijing next week, saying they will make a recommendation to the president about a possible U.S.-China summit after they visit China themselves.
Well, okay, theirs is out then, right?
Sure.
Huh. Yeah, so they're going next week. So when they come back, they're going to say, listen, we've made enough progress. You should probably go ahead and meet with Xi.
Right, right.
So even though right now he's saying, see, it's all managing expectations.
See, and this is the thing.
This is a...
easy, easy.
Yeah, it's a Broadway show, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a Broadway show.
Well, and thus far, China has rejected the notion of accountability once the deal is signed, raising questions over potential enforcement should a deal be made. However, a recent poll conducted by Farm Journal showed 78% of farmers and ranchers surveyed either strongly or somewhat approve of the president with Trump's fight to build a border wall, buoying that support in farm country.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. What else have we got here? Oh, the American Farm Bureau Federation has released statements critical of USDA's regulatory stance on protecting farmland and wetlands. The organization said in a statement, USDA holds all the cards, leaving farmers without the necessary tools to protect their property and due process rights. The AFBF contends that the interim rule makes participation in related programs difficult for farmers and says the maps, now this is key, says the maps used by USDA to delineate farmland and wetlands is out of date, suggesting farmland maps need to be updated. The AFBF called them, decades old.
Yeah. Yeah. And AFBF, another one to watch on property rights issues, NCBA. Well, all the commodity groups, really, but AFBF and NCBA really seem to push it. When it comes to the property rights, it's good to have their voice in there protecting it.
Yeah, we need that. And finally, Barbie has gone country. Toymaker Mattel has released a farmer Barbie doll, which includes a tractor and a wagon, each with wheels that turn, five animals and feeding accessories to complete the set. Farmer Barbie is clad in a flannel shirt and overalls with accessory animals, including a calf, a lamb, a hen, and chicks. There was no mention of a farmer Ken to join Barbie. She may need to open a farmersonly.com account for that, but it is unclear if Ken would be able to handle the farm work. And real quickly, let's go ahead and move over to the AgriTalk Weather Lab and just see if we can get a report, an update on today's...
What now? Where are we?
We're at the AgriTalk Weather Lab here. We're at... It appears to be raining lambs. I think that just means it's darn cold outside, Chip.
I think it is raining lambs. The last time you said that, when we got as cold as we were, that it was everybody needs to be on watch for the lambs. It happened all over the place.
Absolutely, it did.
Yeah,
as it does every year.
Absolutely. So we've got a big show. I am really looking forward to the conversation because, let's see, what have I got on the list? We've got the Bud Light issue.
Yep.
And did you guys see what Pete Kors did?
Ooh. Yeah. Tell them about it.
Pete Kors, you know what? I don't have to tell you about it because I see somebody that's calling in right now. Kevin Ross from NCGA is calling in right now. He wants to be part of the free-for-all, and he's going to be on next to tell us about what Pete Kors did out. Is it Kors or Kurs?
Is that the Pete Kors?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, Kors.
I'm going to stay tuned in to find out.
But is it Kors or Kurs?
I'm going Kors.
Really?
Kors.
I'd go with Kurs.
Kurs.
Let's get us some Kurs. We'll be right back with the free-for-all on AgriTalk. A lot of factors, domestic and foreign, are driving up the cost of ag inputs across the market as we roll into 2019. In an effort to lessen the pain on growers, Syngenta began looking at ways to find more efficiencies in their supply chain last year. We're joined by Austin Parrish, the head of business planning at Syngenta. Austin, what are some of the things Syngenta is doing to help customers receive the most value from their products?
There's a massive focus within Syngenta on operational efficiencies, and particularly within our purchasing, manufacturing, and distribution functions. We're reducing our internal costs across these areas to the absolute bare minimum without impacting our service model, or sacrificing the high level of quality and service that our customers deserve. We're also looking at how we can be a customer of choice to our logistics partners. For example, the ELD mandate requires truckers to use electronic logging devices to monitor the limited number of hours they are behind the wheel. This is causing transit times to grow longer and longer as drivers are forced to keep tighter rein on their hours. In response, we're working with our manufacturing sites to help truck drivers get in and out more quickly so they can spend less time loading and unloading chemicals and more time on the road.
Thanks, Austin. We'll hear more from Austin next week. And for more news and stories from Syngenta, head to www.syngentathrive.com.
Give your corn a strong defense against stress throughout the season with MycoApply Endoprime SC. MycoApply Endoprime SC uses four specially selected species of mycorrhizal fungi to protect your crop against stress. That means more access to water and key micronutrients while building a healthy soil structure for stronger crops for years to come. Stronger corn starts beneath the surface. Learn more about MycoApply Endoprime SC at endoprimecorn.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Commodity Classic is the place for generations of farmers to connect.
Helps me get answers to those questions that otherwise I wouldn't have access to. You know, maybe can't get them locally. My father over here is kind of an old school farmer, and so listening to other people say it besides me helps him agree with me more.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused educational and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Ana Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Ana Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Ana Lisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Ana Lisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new
AgriTalk is brought to you by Precision Planting, provider of practical and effective precision ag technologies to help make farmers smarter every season. Learn more at precisionplanting.com. Yeah, we don't need that kind of distraction right now. We've got a big show.
Absolutely, we've got a big show. My gosh,
boy, I almost didn't get you back there.
I was looking at a couple of notes. I'm sorry. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, is the first one in on the free for all. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. Lots going on, as you said.
Absolutely, there is. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture. Sean, it's good to have you again.
Great to be here, Chip. After a week off, looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pam Johnson, Iowa farmer, past president of NCGA, past president of Mazal, and on AgriTalk for the second time this week. Pam, it's good to talk with you.
Yep, good to be back on to be able to talk when there's so much going on.
Yeah, Pam, I don't know if you saw it last night or not, but Bud Light does appear to be doubling down. I know that they're saying that they're going to meet with NCGA, or maybe they already are meeting with NCGA on some of these issues, but it hasn't taken the commercials off the air. It hasn't changed the message. It hasn't stopped them from rolling out new versions of the same old tired message, questioning whether or not, questioning corn syrup. It's crazy.
Well, Kevin Ross will give us a download because he was in Denver and he's also the vice president of National Corn, so he is in the loop on all things policy. I do have to say that, a couple things. Bud Light's buying our beer, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, whatever. They are an important customer of ours, and certainly in these day and age, we need every bushel we can get to be sold.
Right.
That being said, I wish we could generate as much farmer engagement over a lot of other issues as we have. And it's shown, if you want to get farmers engaged, mess with their beer.
Here's the deal. And this is kind of something that Kevin is listening in on this right now. We'll bring him in here in just a second. But here's the deal. Farming is not a livelihood. Farming is a business that allows those that are doing it to live the lifestyle that they want to live. Okay? So it's not a lifestyle. It's a business that allows you to live the lifestyle that you want to live. But whenever something threatens that livelihood, that lifestyle, that's what gets the hackles up on farmers. And this is threatening demand over something that Kevin... It's something that we thought was settled a while ago when it comes to sugar is sugar, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chip. It's unbelievable to me that this just kind of popped up out of thin air again, it seemed like. It was something that, like I said, I hadn't been in my mind for a while, and I'm watching the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is, and... instantly, we've got a whole lot of folks that were upset.
Right.
Including myself. And hey, we at least we're pushing back hard, I know Anheuser-Busch or Bud Light anyway is certainly feeling it. And I tell you what, we are having some discussions with them. We've had some, not as the board yet, but some staff CEO discussions level, and we're working here. We're gonna see what we can work out with them. I don't know if they'll pull the commercials or not. I wish they would, but I just don't like people misleading the American consumer. It's upsetting.
Right.
And, I'm tired of it.
Right.
How many bushels of corn are we talking about here that go into that are used for this whole process?
I believe I heard it was 1 billion bushels that they buy for processes. Somebody will have to validate that.
Wow.
Yeah, Anheuser-Busch, or excuse me, InBev at least, I believe it's InBev, the parent company. It's one of the two, either them or Anheuser-Busch. It has 1 billion bushels worldwide that they consume, or $1 billion, excuse me, that they spend worldwide on corn products. So hey, they're using a lot of them, and we certainly, like Pam said, we totally appreciate that. But it's just an ill-fated attack that just seemed really unnecessary.
Yeah, and the thing that concerns me here, guys, is that what it'll do is when a consumer goes to the grocery store now. And they start looking at that ingredient list. They may not be looking specifically for corn syrup, but if they see it on the ingredient list, does their mind flash back to the Bud Light commercial that they saw during their favorite sporting event? And they say, wait a second, Bud Light doesn't use corn syrup. That must mean it's bad.
That's the issue right there.
Yes. Yes.
Yep, so 100%. 100%.
It's the follow-up thing here. And Pam, you said it on Tuesday when you said, listen, this is some evidence that maybe the whole industry, me, Pam, Kevin, everybody has kind of taken their eye off an issue that was a really, really big issue.
Chip, I want to introduce a question here. Rather than also going at InBev and Bud Light, who was the ad agency that proposed this, if any? I think I haven't seen much information on that.
Hello?
Yeah, so, yeah, we got you.
Okay.
We got you. We're back.
We froze solid.
Yeah, we froze solid for just a second. Sorry, guys. So, Kevin, what was the response? What was the response of Miller Coors to this?
Well, they, you know, they were just as shocked as we were. You know, so we ended up meeting with Pete Coors and Peter and David Coors, as well as a bunch of folks out there in Denver, in Golden. And, you know, they, talking to those guys, they said they were sitting there watching the Super Bowl and kind of the same thing, just shock and awe. And they were, you know, as concerned as we were all of a sudden. And then it, you know, it really forged a quick partnership to say, hey, this isn't right. And, we don't, you know, we're not going to stand for it. And there's no reason they should have to defend that either. And,
right,
you know, similar to us, it's just a load of crap that we shouldn't have to mess with, but it's misleading.
Kevin, this is Jim Wiesmeyer. Who was the ad agency, if there was one, who recommended this approach to, you know, Bud Light?
It's an agency out of New York, and I can't think the name of it.
Bingo. They need to be vetted. They need to be vetted, and they need to be educated as well.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They need to be educated as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they're getting educated, I can tell you that one.
but there has to be, like, that's the amazing part about this, that, you know, Super Bowl commercials are not cheap. And so
yes,
in one of the most expensive 30-second spots of the entire year, corn syrup is the marketing difference. That's what really, really blew. There was that much corn syrup going into beer. So it was a whole education process for me. But that's what blew me away, that at this time, at this moment, you take this stand on this issue. That's what really shocked me.
Yeah.
Declining sales versus other beers will get you to try to think of a solution. And number two, money never equates to intelligence.
Well, my big question, Jim, honestly, was what, as a Canadian, what are all you drinking so much light beer anyway? I don't understand.
The darker, the better for me.
We got to remember, this is the tactic that works for marketing, though, is fear. You know, think way back when the first genetically altered tomato came out in the EU, and it was the whole marketing thing about good, bad, evil, and it took off and it worked.
Yep.
So I think, you know, you have to address these things. You have to get the word out, and you have to just see what you can do. And I think that NCGA is doing a great job.
Yep. Kevin, keep it up, and we'll see you the end of the month down in Orlando, all right?
Looking forward to it, Chip. By the way, I did ask Peter Coors if it was Coors or Coors, and he corrected me. It is Coors.
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 Coors. Coors.
Yeah. Hey, we'll see you down there at Commodity Classic. Looking forward to it, and appreciate what you guys do.
Very good. Thank you so much, Kevin. That is Kevin Ross, first vice president of the National Corn Growers Association. That was good for Kevin for calling in and being part of the conversation, huh, Pam? I mean, we've talked about it before, but those are the kinds of voices that we need representing farmers out here.
Yep. That's the boots on the ground to respond instantly to policy and marketing and everything else. And, you know, we've talked about this before, how important to join your voice with those.
Absolutely. All right. When we come back, Jim, you ready to go down the State of the Union address? You ready to hit us on the latest with China and the border and everything like that?
Sure.
All right. Well, we're going to be hitting it hard and hitting it quick next year on the Free For All on AgriTalk.
As a farmer, you're challenged to be more efficient with every seed, every season. To work smarter for a greater return on investment. Precision planting sensors and control systems account for the changing environments throughout your field so you can execute every pass with more accuracy, all with the equipment you already own. Precision planting, smarter every season. Find out more about precision planting at precisionplanting.com.
Soybean and cotton growers are going all in on Ingenia herbicide. Now BASF is going all in on Ingenia growers. We're so confident in the performance of this solution, we're now backing it with the Ingenia Herbicide Weed Control Guarantee so you can have true peace of mind. And you can tap into our expanded Grow Smart Rewards program and get cash back. Go all in today at IngeniaHerbicide.com. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, finally we're here. We're getting the reports about half an hour away.
Yeah, just in wait mode right now. Like you said, about a half an hour. We'll get the data from USDA finally. That should have came out in January, so a month late. But we'll see. Hopefully there's some bullish news in the report.
Yeah. So what number are you going to be watching most closely?
Well, normally it would be the grain stocks. Yeah. But those are back to December 1, and they normally aren't released until January. So I don't know. I think that as a whole, the numbers should be friendly on corn. Soybeans, even if ending stocks come down and the crop estimate comes down, you've still got bearish overall fundamentals. So it's a tougher case to make that even a friendly report should have a bullish reaction in the soybean market. But with that said, I think beans have played a little bit better than corn has given the overall outlook. So we'll see, I guess, in a half an hour how the market reacts to the data.
Right, right. And we need to pay attention to what's going on with the wheat seedings estimate from USDA as well. That could be could give us a little bit of support into that wheat market going into the weekend. Got some green numbers on the screen for cattle and feeder cattle today.
Yeah, the cattle market remains supported by, the poor feedlot conditions, the strong cash market. Demand is very good for beef, and as a result, we saw last week's topping price action find buyers this week, and good strong finish to the week if we can maintain where we're at right now.
Right. Unfortunately, the hog market is once again under some pressure. All right, Brian, thank you so much, buddy. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Thanks to our sponsor, ESN Smart Nitrogen, the smartest way to reduce nitrogen loss and increase yield. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson sitting right next to me here.
Hello.
It is a free-for-all with Jim Wiesmeyer, Pam Johnson, and Sean Haney. Jim, it was a little delayed, just like the reports are that we are going to be getting here in just a little bit. But we finally got the State of the Union address. My analysis of it on Wednesday was that it was a good speech. It could have been delivered better. But when you look at the approval rating of the speech and the content of the speech, it's off the charts, man.
Yeah, it was in the 75% area, and yeah. I bet CNN and CBS had to cringe with their own survey numbers. Now, it was a non-Twitter speech by Trump, but in the intervening days since the speech, Chip, he has not dug himself back into a hole. And so was this a pivot point? Some people are saying it was the first speech of his potential 2020 reelection campaign, and the Democrats appear at this juncture to be overreaching, especially with all the, not all, but most of those Democrats sitting silently as Trump railed against socialism in his State of the Union speech.
Yeah. Yeah. Pam, what did you think of it?
I was driving home from Rochester, so I had I was streaming it on my iPad, so, you know, catching glances. I agree with Jim. You know, how do we delineate between the State of the Union Trump speech and the Twitter Trump? And so I thought it was delivered well, you know, read off the prompter, stuck to the stuff. But, you know, his call for unity, and I thought, great, this is wonderful. Now, please set an example and walk the talk. And, you know, no, I don't think any of us want to see him fail, but he's got to help himself out a little more.
Mm-hmm. Haney, from a distant perspective, what'd you think?
You know, I kind of agree with the group. You know, I think when he does this style of speech where he sticks to the teleprompter, it's more in line with how people would define being presidential, although he feels somewhat uncomfortable. He clearly is a little bit more comfortable in that setting of where he's ad-libbing and he's rolling and running with it. Yeah. So I think those speeches are, you know, more entertaining and get bigger cheers from the crowd. But in this setting and I guess, you know, in Congress, it was a good job. And the like you said, the poll numbers show it.
Yeah, the poll numbers show it. And I disagree with the polls. I mean, like I said, it was a good speech. It could have been delivered better. I thought he missed some fantastic opportunities in this State of the Union address. I would have gone down the list, Jim, of how many times the leading Democrats have supported stiffer border security, have supported the idea of putting up some sort of a barrier, even though those times were 3, 4, 5, 7 years ago. I would have gone right down the list and said, I'm willing to work with you now. You got a guy in the White House that's willing to work with you. Why aren't you willing to work with me?
Yeah, any speech could be improved, but yet I think his, when he went off the teleprompter was pretty good. His ad libs, you always fear on that one if you were a Trump supporter, because he can go wild message.
And yes,
that
he can.
Last minute of his speech, any
was
State
awesome.
Of the Union speech should be uplifting. And you go back and read that. And that the State of Union speeches of some of the best language. He at least offered an olive branch, and I think that's what we needed. But as Pam said, let's see the follow through. Let's continue.
And the true test for him will be, if you think back to before the last shutdown, where he did compromise. You know, he got hammered pretty hard by some of the people at, you know, networks like Fox. And so it'll be interesting to watch if he is going to strike some sort of a deal here. Is he able to push through some of that criticism that is definitely going to be headed his way for, you know, some sort of compromise?
Right.
I think the thing that caught me off guard was once again saying, you know, yes, we need unity, we need to move forward. And then in the next breath said, and that means, you know, you can't investigate me anymore, or there should never be investigations. That one hit me in the face. I think another thing is, the end of the speech was wonderful. It just didn't seem genuine and authentic coming from him. I just felt like, okay, that was a great speech writer. And the other point is, when he opened up, it's the speaker's house. I don't care who the speaker is, whether you don't like or like Nancy Pelosi. This time around, it's her house. and he didn't give her the opportunity to introduce him like usual. Was that intentional? I don't know. But to me, you know, he could have started out on a better step too.
Jim, have you heard anything on that? Because I pointed that out on Wednesday as well, that the start of the whole address seemed weird to me because he was introduced to the chamber, and then you usually pause and let the Speaker of the House reintroduce the President of the United States, get another big cheer going. But did they agree before the speech to just bypass that?
I agree with Pam. It was just not an oversight. That had to have been planned, and it was a mistake. You have to be gracious to victors, and it wasn't an oversight. That had to have been planned, but it was pretty petty to start his speech.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that the whole thing started either. But, Pam, I'm going to disagree with you on what you said about the end of the speech. I thought that's when and this is the difference in our leanings, maybe. I get that. But I, at the end of the talk, that's when I felt that he was on a roll. He was coming off as genuine. I was hearing what I feel is Trump in the last couple of minutes of the speech.
You know, I could think that. And then I've been watching what Twitter Trump looks like after that.
Well, and I've taken the liberty of pulling up a transcript here real quick. The last couple of lines here. This is the time to reignite the American imagination. This is the time to search for the tallest summit, set our sights on the brightest star. This is the time to rekindle the bonds of love and loyalty and memory that link us together as citizens, as neighbors, and as patriots. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's time to do what's right for the nation, not what's right for the party.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where he started, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so what's right for the nation? Jim? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has put out the new Green Deal. Is that what's right for the nation?
It's Bernie Sanders on steroids. Okay. She has given Trump oxygen for his reelection.
Absolutely.
And even, you know, Pelosi, House Speaker Pelosi is trying to distance in some way, in the most politic way she can, by calling it a green dream.
Dream.
You go through some of this, and agriculture, I mean, she just, you know, wants to do away with livestock production and in the flatulence for dairy, etc. It goes through all. You can tell where she got her university training at Boston University, where more than a few are socialist leaning. But this is a nervousness with some of the younger people coming through our educational system. She believes, though, what she says, and that's scary to me.
Yes.
And judge her, though, based on who she associates with. I got really terrified, and what should scare most Americans is her Twitter conversation with Labour Party leader in the UK, Jeremy Corbyn, about how, you know, great conversations they've been having. That should scare you more than anything.
See, I don't know enough about who was she having the conversation with?
Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party in the UK. That's about as far left as you can possibly get.
Okay. Wow.
I think once again, it's a wake-up call for all of us when we get complacent, no matter what party we're in, is that these are opinions, and these opinions are not of just one person. They're growing in strength. So proactively, what are we going to do about it? We, you know, if I ask myself, okay, what can a farmer do if we're starting to have a climate change discussion, which drives some of this? There are many things out there that we've been involved in, you know, field to market, soil health partnership.
Yep.
So let's not turn a blind eye to that kind of rhetoric,
but maybe
our wisdom and in our experience, I know it is threatening.
Oh, here's what scares me. You can take that very well said message to AOC right now, and I don't get the impression that she would even listen to it.
But But Chip, these are really confused. These are really super confusing times. You get at the same time, you know, you got a Republican president going. He's labeling himself tariff man. You've got Tucker Carlson going on a media spree about how, you know, really talking negatively about capitalism. There's a lot of confusing stuff out there that I just sort of some days sit here and scratch my head before I write a column.
Yeah. It's difficult, well, Jim.
And we often say that, you know, the way what we do now, whether it's on personally, anecdotally on a farm, that are we making it better for the next generation? Because whether it's the kids on the farm or the kids at Boston University, they're going to have to pick up the pieces about what's going on now. And I think it is a huge concern to them, and they have no practical experience about livestock or grain farming or anything.
Right.
Bottom line, we can't go on fear. We can't go on fear of total, you know, fear of immigrants, and we can't go to fear of total the negatives on wealthy people in the United States, because those have made the choices and have given us the productivity gains that we've seen.
Yep.
Agreed. I've got one. And the pendulum swings. The pendulum swings.
Exactly. I've got one more thought on this when we come back.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
It's time to give back to your roots and make this your best growing season with Radiate. Radiate's patented formulation of plant growth regulators help develop longer, stronger, healthier roots to improve nutrient uptake. And now, when you give back to your roots, you give back to FFA. Nutrient Ag Solutions and Radiate are proud to support national FFA alumni and supporters chapter grant programs across the country. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go online to RadiateRoots.com for more details. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
It's time for an industry spotlight. Andrew McRae talks with Damon Palmer, leader for pasture and land management businesses with Corteva, on the company's range and pasture product lineup.
Corteva, for some folks, they may not know that name, so you may just want to begin there.
We were excited in February when we launched the new name, Corteva, which is the ag division of DowDuPont. And one thing that we're talking to producers about is the fact that from a range and pasture cattle perspective, Dow has been very active partnering with them, increasing the quality of their grazing lands for the last 60 years. And so we really want producers to know that what they're going to see going forward is Corteva. It's not Dow. Our commitment is just as much, if not more, than the Heritage Dow.
For some of those that aren't familiar, talk about some of those products that have been in that lineup dating way back.
It actually starts with 2,4-D back in the 40s. That's really what built this segment, built pasture improvement. Several of the products that producers would recognize are Grazon P+D, Remedy, and then one of our largest products now is Grazon Next.
Very effective products. They've been around for a while, but folks are still using them and still very effective.
They are effective, and they're great tools to help increase biodiversity as well as sustainability of the grazing land. And, you know, one of the things that shows our commitment in Corteva and towards the future is the fact that we will be launching three new products over the next 3 years pending regulatory approvals.
Those products, is it so much that you're getting rid of weeds, that you're increasing the quality of forage, or is it just all of the above?
So it's all the above. I mean, what the producer will see is controlled weed.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
See, you dancing like that is why I don't come into the office that often anymore.
I wish you wouldn't sit so close to me when this song is playing.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I am Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello.
We have got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Pam Johnson, Iowa Farmer, past president of NCGA and Mazal, and Sean Haney, Real Agriculture. Guys, there's one last thing that I want to talk about. State of the Union and the Green Deal and all of that here is when President Trump said, listen, we are not going to be, we will never be a socialist country. We got the Chance of USA going. There seemed to be general consensus out there in the among the lawmakers that was true. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was looking a little disgruntled by that. Bernie was slumping in his chair even before Trump said it, and he slumped even lower after it. But then this happens. 2 days later, and this is why we cannot underestimate AOC. 2 days later, she's got mainstream media eating out of the palm of her hand talking about the new Green Deal. We will never be a socialist country, Jim. That whole statement just rolled right off her back like it was never said.
Yeah, this is why education is so important, Chip. And it shows you that, like Senator Chuck Grassley yesterday said on Fox Business, it shows you that history is not being taught accurately in school any longer, because the history of socialism shows you what happens. And the case in question is Venezuela.
Yeah. Mm. What's your favorite line about socialism, Davis?
Socialism works great until you run out of other people's money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I was in Cuba over Christmas, and I saw that socialism does not build wealth firsthand. You know, but
right.
you gotta look at it, Chip, too, like how people view all this, because I got an email from a listener earlier this week when I was talking about this, and they said, well, if you're so much against socialism, maybe we should get rid of the RFS and the Farm Bill. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It's all political banter back and forth. The U.S. is, right. It continues.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it begs a bigger discussion. You know, who are we electing to represent us? Who are we electing to Congress? You know, Republicans couldn't be conservative enough. They were called rhinos. And they ate each other up in primaries. And now we see it swing to the other side with the ultra-liberals. Yep. So voters, if you want to vote somebody in who can compromise and work with the other side so we can get something done, think about it. I mean, case in point, my representative in Congress is Steve King.
Mm-hmm.
So there are issues to go around on both sides. And, you know, patriots, voters, let's fix it.
Yeah. So in the state of Iowa, you're represented by Steve King, and I'm represented by Abby Finkenauer. Maybe we should just, like, trade houses, Pam.
I would love that.
But you make a great point, because what we're talking about is a lack of trust and a lack of tolerance. And I'm not talking about the lawmakers. I'm talking about the general public. Because what we've done, guys, is we have sorted ourselves. We have sorted those people. People are thinking in AOC's district, people are thinking, I don't want to be living next to somebody that thinks anything like a Republican does. So they've sorted themselves. And we're doing that all over the country. Well, if you sort yourselves, of course the people that you elect are going to be leaning hard left or leaning hard right. And that's what we've done to ourselves. It's astonishing to me. So last thing on this is how AOC, and the reason I'm talking about AOC is because I am not going to underestimate her. I really debated whether or not we were going to talk about AOC on this show or not. But if you don't talk about her, you're underestimating her, and I'm not going to do that. I will not do that. But when she talks about how they are going to pay for the Green New Deal, or the new Green Deal, whatever it is, when she talks about how they're going to pay for it, Jim, they're just going to go to the Treasury. And they're going to get lines of credit from the Treasury. In other words, they're going to get them to print more dollars. Well, the more dollars that you print, they are worth less.
Yeah, and where it falls apart, Jeff.
Exactly. It will continue until the dollar is worthless.
Absolutely. Let's just print the printing presses, et cetera. Like Bernie in his Medicare for All. Yeah, it costs $3.2 trillion a year. Yeah, it falls apart. That's why they introduced it as a non-binding resolution, Chip.
Right. Hey, guys, I got to jump straight to this. Jim, China, trade, U.S.,
I'll be real brief. Watch, U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's trip there about the middle of next week to see what they say, if anything. They probably will. That will determine a potential date for a Trump-G meeting, period. Okay. Other than that, they should just shut up.
Gotcha. Guys, I don't think I've done this yet. On the show since I became host of AgriTalk. It is so refreshing to me that we can get on the air and have the kind of conversation that we just had. And when everything is said and done, I wish I could go to dinner with all of you tonight.
We'll take you up on that at Commodity Classic.
And he's paying. And he is paying, Pam.
I am more than willing.
And I would have your steak, of course, flatulence notwithstanding.
with the side of flatulence sauce, I guess.
Hey, in all seriousness, I so agree. If we all, lawmakers, the public, all of us farmers, could sit down, even though we disagree, and have a conversation and agree to disagree, but in the end work together to make stuff work.
Yes. Yes, it's done with respect, and I hope you guys feel the respect that I've got for you when we have these kinds of conversations. It's absolutely fantastic. Jim, thanks, man. Sure. You got reports coming up. Get busy.
Okay.
Haney, we'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. Cheers, man.
All right. And Pam Johnson, it's always fun to talk with you, Pam.
Yep, thanks. Enjoyed the conversations this morning.
Very good. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Come back this afternoon. Davis and I are going to have as many of the details as we can.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is.
Oh, Ed, look, it's Credenz Liberty Link GT27.
I know, Adna. He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.